The umpires stole a game from the Rockies last night.
He swung.
So, for anybody that didn't see, Dodgers, Rockies, entering the top of the ninth, the Dodgers were losing 9-4. Going into the top of the ninth. Jason Hayward hits a grand slam.
Makes it 9-8.
9-8. Rockies still got the lead. They just need to get to the three outs and the game's over.
Big Shohei starts with a single.
Ohtani gets on. Freeman got on after that, I believe.
Intentional walk.
Oh, they intentionally walked him. And then Teoscar Hernandez comes up. With two strikes, Teoscar Hernandez has a check swing.
Yeah.
They appeal to the first base umpire. He says no swing. Bud Black, the Rockies manager, gets ejected. Very next pitch.
Bye-bye.
Launches one. Right field. Go ahead. 3-run home run. You're saying right off the bat it was a swing.
I thought he swung.
The way check swings are called, that's called 90% of the time, 80%, whatever. That's normally called a swing. They did not call it a swing. Here's the interesting part. You know what the MLB rulebook is on check swings?
Other than the base umpire deciding if he swung it or not?
It's literally the umpire decides if he attempted to swing. Or I think it's attempted to strike the ball is what's in the rule book. There is no definition on what a check swing is. Because often we like, oh, did his wrist break?
So it's subjective to the umpire.
Did the bat come across home plate? Yeah, but it's
completely subjective.
It's the thing in the rule book that there is not actually a rule on it. It's just, does the umpire think he tried to hit the ball?
Right.
So technically, every check swing is a swing because you put the bat somewhere out there.
Right, you're trying to make contact.
Right, so it's a stupid rule or it's a non-rule, however you want to look at it. I think it probably should have been called a check swing, but whatever. The funniest part of it, though, is Rockies right fielder Jake Cave.
Oh, yeah. Once it went out, he went nuts.
I don't think I've ever seen that. So
yeah, he went nuts.
Teoscar Hernandez hits this home run. Jake Cave's the right fielder. It goes over his head, over the wall. And he immediately is screaming and pointing
at the first base
at the first base ump. I don't think I've ever seen that where a guy in the field is just losing his mind about a check swing that he, I mean, I know it's his team, but he had nothing. It didn't involve him at all. It's not like a bad call that screwed like his at bat or anything. And then after the game, he had to be restrained.
Yes,
because he was
on deck.
He was going to come. Yeah, he was going to come running at the first base umpire, and his teammates had to hold him back.
Yep. And then after the game in the clubhouse, he did nothing but complain about it.
Which,
as did Bud Black.
Yeah, I mean they were furious about it. Now don't give up the grand slam to start the inning, and then
don't give up the home
throw
run.
Throw the meatball on the to give up the 3-run home run. They probably did get a little bit screwed, but God, that was funny. Even though it benefited the Dodgers, I thought it was hilarious.
I was in the chair watching. The whole thing.
You were locked in?
I was locked in.
Still in the ninth? Down,
yep, still in ninth,
down
nine,
five?
When they loaded the bases, I got a little excited. But and I said to myself, if a grand slam pulls him within one, and he hits it, Hayward hits it. I still didn't think they were going to win.
But yeah, they still had to score another run.
But then Ohtani gets the single. They walk Freeman, and he comes up and leaves the yard.
Strikes out first, but then gets to hit a home run.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Struck out first.
It's good work. By the way, Teoscar Hernandez. Guy's awesome.
54 ribbies now.
He's had some good seasons in the past, but this is like the classic, the Dodgers signed a guy who's been okay, and now
he's great.
Yeah, awesome. Is he on a one-year deal? They'll probably just let him go after this.
Sign someone else.
See you later. We got it. We got what we wanted out of you. We're going to do this with some other random outfielder next year.
Great question. Thank you.
Chelsea Gray will probably play tonight. Becky Hammond said that she intends to play her a little bit. Chelsea Gray, Aces point guard, hasn't played yet this season, still recovering from an injury that she suffered in the WNBA Finals last year, caused her to miss the final game of the WNBA Finals. Gray has been participating in 5-on-5 drills in practice, so obviously, you're pretty close when that's happening.
When you're running up and down the court.
But they play the Seattle Storm tonight, 7 o'clock here in Vegas. And the expectation is that Chelsea Gray is going to get some minutes. We'll see what that means for Becky Hammond when she says intends to play her a little bit. She also at times has said she intends to play players off the bench and then doesn't do so. So we'll see what she does. But I would guess we're going to see Chelsea Gray for at least a limited cameo tonight.
Can she defend somebody?
In theory, but again, coming back from an injury, who knows? I mean,
and a leg injury.
Yeah,
how well can she move?
And how? Yeah, who knows how good she'll be defensively? But that's what they need. They play. So they play Seattle tonight, 9-5. Seattle's 9-5. Aces have one win over a team above 500.
Above 500, yeah.
They've now fallen to 10th. It's a 12-team league. They're 10th in defensive rating.
Yeah. Not good.
Not at all.
Not good at all.
The Indiana Fever are unbelievably bad on defense. Like, horrible. The Aces are damn near close to them on defensive efficiency. So they need Chelsea Gray to be, you know, like five different defenders, not just one out there. They need her to have like 10 arms instead of two and 10 good legs so that they have five good defenders out there. But they play tonight. We'll see how much better they look, and we'll see how Chelsea Gray does. Because, again, the chances of them missing the playoffs is almost zero because eight teams out of 12 get in. But yeah, they're the sixth seed right now. Like, they're a bottom half playoff team in the WNBA. And unless this defense gets significantly better, their ceiling's going to end up being like the 3 or 4
seed.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, they're going to fall too far behind eventually. I mean, hell, we're 12 games into a 40-game season. It's
and
not
six and six.
It's not a long season. Right. So they're getting to a point where like one or two seed might be out of the question unless they rip off like 15, 18 in a row.
Haven't played New York, haven't played Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
They haven't played Connecticut yet.
No. So their schedule, their schedule's been relatively even. They've played a lot of bad teams. They've played a lot of the better teams. But yeah, they still have Connecticut games left on the schedule.
And
I don't believe
New York games.
Have they played Washington?
No.
I don't think they played Washington.
No,
it's horrible.
And they're bad.
I know they play them on the 5th of July.
Yeah, they're not good. So that'll help their record. They'll beat them even if it's...
Whoa.
You going to that one?
No.
How'd you know 5th of July? Good for you.
Because we were looking at their schedule because they play the night of the 4th of July and they play...
Back to back?
In that weekend, they have 3 games in 4 days. They play Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
Oof. It's an Indiana schedule.
Yeah, they. I don't know when it starts, but leading up to the Olympic break, they play 10-20. The Aces do. So, like, their whole, like, first 2 weeks of the season, playing a game every week.
Yeah, exactly.
That is going to catch up to them because they go into the Olympic break having played 10 games in 20 days. It's brutal.
That's a great, great question.
Kansas is trying to steal the Chiefs and Royals from Missouri. So, if you remember, there was a proposal to give the Chiefs and Royals public money for stadiums in Kansas City, Missouri, that was voted down by the people in Missouri.
Right.
And at the time we talked about this is why sports teams don't want things to go on a public ballot, because they're almost always going to lose, even if you just won back-to-back Super Bowls. Kansas has viewed this as an opportunity
to take them,
to steal these teams.
Right.
And Kansas, I don't know how this gets determined from state to state, but Kansas is apparently doing it the way we do it in Nevada, where there is no vote. It doesn't go to a ballot. It's just, does the state
legislature
make this happen or not? And the state legislature in Kansas yesterday passed a bill that will allow for 70% of the Chiefs stadium and Royals ballparks to be funded with public money. We are talking over $2 billion. Because the estimate on the Chiefs alone is to be a $2 billion stadium. And for the Royals, a little bit less, but still like $1.5 billion.
Right, for the ballpark.
We're talking about more than $2 billion in public funding that Kansas, their legislature passed it. The governor's expected to sign it into law, sign it as a law, however you want to phrase that, which would make this, if the Chiefs and Royals basically want to do it,
they can do it.
They can move across the border into Kansas, get 70% of $2 and $1.5 billion stadiums covered with public money.
I mean, welcome to Las Vegas.
Unbelievable. $2 billion plus in public funding?
They want sports. They want them over there.
They're just across the border.
Well,
you can just drive. It's not like you're banned.
They're Henderson.
Not like you're banned from just going across the border.
They want sports like Henderson does.
Jeez, man. That's a crazy number.
Well, it's about 3.5 then, because you said 2 for the Chiefs and at least 1.5 for the Royals.
Yeah, so 3.5 in total.
Right.
Those are estimates.
Think about that, though.
It'll probably be $4 billion in total funding.
When it's done.
Or total cost, and right. Then the public funding will be 2.5, close to $3 billion of that, somewhere in that ballpark of public funding. So sports owners somehow keep finding other cities or governments to
willing
be like,
to give that kind of money.
Yeah, how much do you need?
Arena,
okay, we'll
to
figure
build their
that
stadium.
Out. Yeah, we'll make that happen. What, they voted that down over there? Well, don't worry. We won't let our voters vote on this.
Right.
We won't
no,
let that happen.
We won't
happen.
Let our people vote. Just, well, like you said, when it goes to the ballot, it never passes.
Right. I don't know anything about the people of Kansas. There's no way they would vote yes.
On $2 billion.
Yeah. Do you want to give $2 to $3 billion to the Chiefs and the Royals?
To come over across the
There's no way.
Right.
It's a ridiculous amount of money. You'd be looking around and say, wait a minute. We're doing what? We're giving how much money?
No chance.
It's ridiculous. Just like here, if any of these things went to a public ballot, they would not pass.
No, because we've said before, not that many people care about sports.
Right.
Enough.
They just
don't. We do. But the average person out there does not care about sports, one, at all.
Right.
Or two, enough to ever vote for something like that.
So that's why these things won't pass. It happened to the Coyotes in Arizona.
Yes. Yeah, they're not going to vote for that.
That's why you just get it to the legislature and say, hey, here's some funding. We're going to donate to your campaign for your next reelection. Thank you for voting yes.
Hey, where
for
did that happen?
Money. Not here. Couldn't be here. I don't know.
Next question.
Justin Verlander was placed on the 15-day IL. He missed his start over the weekend with neck discomfort, according to the Astros. They were hopeful he would be able to make a start on Thursday this week, but that's not going to happen, and they've put him on the IL. The Astros now have 5 starting pitchers on the IL. Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy are both done for the season. Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia haven't pitched at all this year, but are expected to come back after the All-Star break. And Justin Verlander now has an unknown timeline. The Astros only have 4 starting pitchers right now. They have, they only have 4 on the active roster, and they don't really have a AAA guy that's guaranteed that guy starting. They've had enough days off that they've been able to get by for a week with only 4 starters, but they don't have a 5th starter at the moment.
Do you want Walker Buehler? Because that guy stinks.
Yes, so 100% will take Walker Buehler. What are you yelling? You yelling about Walker Buehler over here. Of course. Here's, by the way, the Astros, I think they're worse than the Golden Knights about injuries.
In terms of explaining them?
I think they're worse because every single injury is just discomfort. Just
can have a broken leg.
Whatever body part. Yes, whatever body part is just discomfort. The only time they give actual information is either when the players come back or if they have surgery.
Right.
And Christian Javier, who just had Tommy John surgery, when he first got scratched from a start, they called it neck discomfort.
Like they have with Verlander.
Yes. He went, neck discomfort is not going to have to go on the IL, which is what they did with Verlander. And then
Tommy
he's
John.
Going on the IL. He's getting his elbow looked at. He's getting a second opinion on his elbow, Tommy John surgery.
Well, you better hope Verlander just has neck discomfort.
I don't. I mean, Verlander actually did talk to the media, so it is he's also saying it's neck discomfort. And that he's Verlander said if this was a playoff game, I would be pitching. So I believe he will be back, but the Astros are worse worse than the Golden Knights. Every single time. It's discomfort. Kyle Tucker, when he fouled a ball off his shin, he's been out for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, discomfort.
He fouled it off his shin. They were like, leg discomfort. Yeah, we know. We saw it. He was crawling on the ground cussing because he fouled a ball off his shin. Leg discomfort. Is every injury is something discomfort. They're worse than the Golden Knights.
Upper or lower?
Yeah, that is the one thing they do. They do specify a little bit more on what the body is.
Yeah, the part of the body.
But I also feel like they lie all the time about whether guys are coming back. I mean, 3 days ago, the GM was like, we think he's going to start in Detroit. And then, didn't start.
And now he's in the IL.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I can't wait for the next injury report. Upper discomfort.
Yeah.
Upper discomfort.
Oh, yeah, don't tell the Golden Knights.
Upper wear.
Yeah, they won't even. The Golden Knights are just considering he's got discomfort. What does that mean? Did he have a bad night's sleep? I don't know. He's just not comfortable somewhere. We can't tell you anymore. Coming up next, we'll get in.
On Twitter, at Ed Graney and at Bischoff_Tyler.
That's a long flight, man.
Yeah, because Sergei Bobrovsky's terrible.
Because Bobby can't play right now.
He's horrific. he just decided he was going to try to kick Connor McDavid's shot like he was a soccer goalie or like he was playing goalie in the 1970s
standing up.
Before they realized that you could go down
up.
To your knees.
It's a long flight to be dragged back there.
Bobrovsky sucks.
Yeah, he under 90% save
yes.
percentage.
He's now played 10 Stanley Cup final games the last 2 years. Five of them he's given up at least four goals.
Yeah. Bob's not any good right now.
He's bad.
Don't you think? Okay, they said after game four that they brought all their families out there. They thought too much about it, overchecking, too nervous, all of that because the cup was in the building. Now, you and I don't believe in the M word. We don't believe in momentum. But they're in their heads now. This is in their heads.
Yeah, because their goalie sucks.
Well, that's who.
The Panthers were, the Panthers after they went down 3-0, so I know, big caveat there. The Panthers were awesome in the last 30-ish minutes of that game. They dominated the last 30 minutes. Now, again, Edmonton was up 3-0. They didn't really need to score a whole lot
right,
to win the game.
Back.
But Florida was like, oh, Jesus, we're going to lose, and started playing awesome. But guess what? Their goalie was a disaster and gave up a goal from the damn goal line because he didn't realize he needed to, you know, drop to his knees to make a save.
Exactly. Stood up.
Do anything but what you did, and it's not a goal.
And it's McDavid's goal.
Right. His goalies are horrific.
Bob's not good right now, but I'm telling you, they're in their heads now. And did you say yesterday they'd come back and win it?
Yes.
They very well
could. I said it at some other point. Like I told Danny, anytime somebody goes down 3-0, I'm just predicting they're coming back to win, and I'll be right eventually.
Well, this one you might be right eventually because I'm telling you, Florida's thinking about it now. They are absolutely thinking about it.
And Edmonton's better.
Well, they've played better the entire series. Now it essentially could be over.
Right.
If Edmonton had won one of those, I mean, it could essentially be over right now the way they played the first two games.
They have now, over the course of the entire series at all strengths,
they've been better.
Edmonton has more goals, more expected goals, more scoring chances, more high danger chances. They have, it's close, right? They're not really blowing them out in a lot of those categories because Florida had a really good last 30 minutes last night. But it's close, but they have had more goals, more everything than the Florida Panthers in this series. They've been better than Florida. Now they've got to win two straight again just to win the Stanley Cup. They've got no margin for error at this point. But, yeah, and Sergei Bobrovsky's not good. Meanwhile, Connor McDavid's winning the Conn Smythe.
Yes. Yes.
He has to.
And that narrative is getting stronger and stronger as each game goes by.
Like, unless somebody scores 10 goals...
Pulls a Marchessault.
Like, no, I mean, like, Florida wins in six, and one guy sets a record with 10 goals in a game. Right? If Barkov is like, all right, I'm going to score 10 tonight, he can win the Conn Smythe. But anything short of that, it's got to be McDavid. Even if Florida goes and wins, game six in Edmonton wins the Stanley Cup, McDavid, he's got there's only three guys that have ever put up 40 points in a postseason.
Gretzky, Lemieux, and him.
Right. It's ridiculous. He's up to, what is he up to, 42?
Oh, I thought he's at 40.
No, he got 40 and then got two more points. Okay. He's up to 40 because he scored the empty netter too. He's up to 42 points. The Reds record for Gretzky is 47.
47.
He's on the ice for like 60 or 70% of Edmonton's goals this year, and he's got a point in like half of them. So if they score three goals, he's getting at least one, probably
right.
2 points in this game. Unless they get shut out, he's probably going to be at 43, 44, maybe 45. And if they win, he'll be going into game seven with, hey, a 3-point game and you set the record.
And you set the record.
He's got to win Conn Smythe.
Okay. Then for the weirdness of it, I want him to lose and have to skate out.
It would be very funny, yes.
And have to skate out or just stand around after the handshake line as those guys are going crazy. Because it takes a while to bring the cup out, the 900-pound Conn Smythe award out with that weird trophy as big as that thing is. So he'd literally... Would he stand there? Would he skate off and then come back on?
I'd sit on the bench. I'd go take a seat on the bench and just wait for him to say, all right, come get your Conn Smythe.
Okay, to announce your name.
Would he know?
That's the thing. I mean, did Marchessault know last year when they announced it? I mean, Eichel was right there with him. I mean, I don't know if they knew until they announced it. Unless someone tells him.
He probably goes to the locker room and then somebody from the NHL comes and says, hey, Connor, you've won the Conn Smythe.
Right.
Come get the trophy, and then...
Yeah. Oh, what a disaster.
It's tough. They're going to win, though.
Oh, I think they're going to.
They're going to win the series.
After last night and the 8-1 win, I think they're in Florida's head. I think they're in their Florida's head, and they're and if they go back for a game seven and go up 1-0, it's over.
So right now, this market isn't offered here in Vegas, but Conn Smythe, Connor McDavid is -160.
Yeah, has to be. Yeah.
He was like 6-1 going into yesterday's game.
It's like Ed said, the narrative has gotten really loud on Connor McDavid doing this because of how good he's been. And like before, like when it was 3-0, it was like, oh, Bobrovsky's gonna get it. He's been bad for two games in a row. And then it was like, do you give it to Barkov or somebody else?
But
Nobody's even close to what McDavid's doing. And again, the key difference in hockey than anything else is the Conn Smythe is supposed to be for your entire playoff run.
Right, not just the Stanley Cup final.
So taking his entire run into account.
It's not close.
You have to. It's one of the like four best postseason runs we've ever seen. He has to win the Conn Smythe, even if they get shut out and lose game six.
And he has to skate on to get it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I would make happen. It'd be great. It'd be one of the funniest things. Dom Lecision of The Athletic has his probabilities and stuff. Oilers have a 27% chance to win the series.
Even now?
Right now. So the behind the math part of that, 27% means they're above 50% to win both games. So they're likely favored.
In both?
In both, but because they have to win both.
Right.
They're still only 27 because like it's going to be like 55-45 the percentage. So there's a 45% chance Florida just wins game 6 and there is no game 7. And then even if it goes to 7, it's still like a 45% chance Florida wins game 7. So that's why the probability is so low even though they'll probably be favored to win them. One other thing on this. Did you guys see Jack Nicklaus?
Yes, pounding the drum.
Is that the saddest drum
come on.
Beating that you've ever seen?
Come on, how old's Jack Nicklaus? Come
then
on.
They get somebody else. They had Mike McDaniel do it for one of the first two games, and that guy's awesome. Mike McDaniel's like 15 years old.
They actually had the guy pointing
to Jack. They had to count him in. They had to be like, go now.
Yeah, go now.
It was sad. It was very sad to watch.
It wasn't great.
Right?
It wasn't great. I'll give you that. I felt bad for Jack.
Yeah. Like, get somebody with some more enthusiasm. You can put Jack
up
on
it's not that Jack didn't have enthusiasm. He just struggled
doing
it.
He was confused. He didn't know what was happening.
But I'm sure he was excited to do it. I think he was excited to do it. It's just that he's a little bit older.
He looked lost.
And he needed some help.
He looked a little lost, I'm just saying.
I felt bad that the camera actually included the guy pointing at him.
Yes, it did. We could see
him. I kind of felt bad for him on that side. Yeah, they could have covered that guy up.
Get somebody younger. That's all I'm saying. Listen, you can put Jack on the video board. You can say welcome to Florida or wherever the hell they are. Sunrise.
Right.
Jack Nicklaus. Put him on the big screen. He can wave at people. That's fine. You don't need him to actually do something. That's why they lost. The Panthers were watching this old man not be able to bang the drum. They're like, how are we supposed to be excited now?
Poor Jack barely touched that thing. It was not good. I felt bad for
him. It'd be like if the Golden Knights with their siren crank had somebody that couldn't actually crank it.
And, well,
they haven't had that before, actually. The siren used to be harder to crank. The siren you had to actually get going. Now they changed it to where it's very easy to do. But, yeah, Jack Nicklaus, not ideal there. Get a younger person up there. Get somebody who can actually, and actually knows when to hit the drum as well. It's not that hard. It's let's go Panthers. It's like the most common chant in American sports. And he's like, what is it? I don't know. You're going to have to tell me when to hit the drum. All right, coming up next, Jason Fitch joins the show. We do not have Jason, first off. Hopefully we'll get Jason here in just a minute. I do want to make sure I let you guys know the code word for today. This is the summer of fun, thanks to ESPN Las Vegas and Planet Nissan. We are, for the next 8 weeks, giving away a vacation every single week. This week's trip is 4 days and three nights to Liverpool, England, where you will see the Beatles Museum, Strawberry Fields, the famous Cavern Club, and Penny Lane. All you have to do to get entered to win is send us a text message. There's a code word every day. You send us that code word, you're entered to win. You can send the code word the next day to get entered again, and we'll give that prize away every single week. Today's code word is FLY. FLY. FLY is today's code word. Text that to 702-364-1100, and you're entered to win the trip to go to Liverpool. New word tomorrow, so stay tuned then to get another entry in as well. But But today's word is fly. Number is 702-364-1100, and the trip is to Liverpool. Do we need to talk about what just happened during the
yes,
break?
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's one of the funniest
because
things.
We thought it was a Jared joke.
A very unintentionally funny situation. So
I also never mind. Go ahead.
What?
I'll say what I was going to say
okay.
after that.
So Capriati's sponsors the station. Apparently Friday is National Wagyu Day.
Right.
I just
found that out. Found that out right away.
Capriati's has a Wagyu sandwich, and Capriati's brought in sandwiches to our station today. So they came. We actually came in the studio door. There's a giant box of what I assume are sandwiches.
Yes,
sitting here in the studio right now, right behind the people from Capriati's.
Jared.
And Jared brought in three pieces of paper to give to me, Ed, and Danny. And basically, these papers are us. We need to sign it. And it's basically us agreeing that we will not have food
in the studio. And yet there's an enormous sandwich box.
We can't touch it.
No.
If we touch it, we get fired.
I looked inside of it. I haven't signed the paper yet.
That's right. I told Jared, I'm not signing this until the Capriati's is out of the studio. Because I'm not agreeing to getting fired for food that somebody else brought in here. It looks good. So, yes, immediately after being given a giant box of Capriati's, we were given paper saying if there's food in the studio.
I literally, because it happened so quick, thought it was Jared joking with
us. I did too, because that is 100% what Jared would do.
Yes.
He'd be like, oh, Capriati's is going to take them food. Let me go tell them they're fired
that
if they have
fired
food
if
in
they
the studio.
If they eat any of these sandwiches.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like an ass the way that I was like talking because like, that was a real quick commercial break, and they're like, hey, can we
come
in?
Yeah, they came in.
Yeah,
can you
bad.
Take pictures and do this? And I was like, hey,
no.
Guys, we're coming back. You got to go. You got to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel really bad, but also at the same time.
Don't feel bad. That's your job, Danny.
We're trying to do a radio show.
Don't
and
feel
then,
bad.
And then Jared's just kind of standing there, and I'm like, Jared, hold this door. I got a guest I got to call. Come on.
No.
Well, and I don't know if pictures are good, given that would give evidence we had food
we're,
in the studio.
We're going to walk into the break room. And we'll take a picture with the Capriati's in the break room because that's where food is legal,
but
not in here.
It does say food consumption, so we can hold it and take pictures. We just can't eat it.
I have not actually looked through this entire thing, but it does say food consumption on here. So we can walk in with food just as long as we don't eat it. I don't know. I'm not touching that Capriati's box.
I'm also curious if this because I didn't
hear that thing.
I didn't see the two ladies with any other boxes. I'm curious if this
they
is
have
just
more.
For
they have more.
Okay, so
I walked out during an earlier commercial break and they were sitting in our lobby with like four giant boxes.
So this
of
box is for the three of us to split.
Apparently. Well, here's the thing. Nobody else is here, I guess. It's 8:30 in the morning. Sales might not be showing up till closer to 9.
Probably.
So they came in with all this Capriati's looking for people to eat it.
I really think
we're the only ones
break,
here.
You should take that into the kitchen and just kind of leave it for others.
Leave it for others?
Danny's taking it home. That's going to Danny's truck during the commercial break.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm about to write my name in big letters and then put it in the fridge.
Put it in the fridge.
Then it'll get thrown away. Come on. We've been over this. You had to experience
That's
this.
That's true.
You lost a coffee. Now you're going to lose 20 sandwiches.
I'm going to put do not touch. And if somebody touches, I want to see the cameras.
You want to see the cameras?
Yep.
We don't have cameras in here.
No.
So I've signed my paper.
Oh, that's a mistake, Ed.
Oh, Ed, you can't touch this box anymore.
Don't turn that in. Don't turn that in until Capriati's
It's been asked to be turned in by 6:30/24.
Oh, we got time.
Yes.
So that's next week.
So I can eat in the studio for the next 11 days.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I don't think that would be accepted.
I mean, I don't have to turn this in until June 30th. And until then, what are they going to do?
Well, Jared also did say that if you get caught eating in the studio, you will be fired.
Right, but I haven't signed this. I got to sign this to agree to that. Where's my lawyer? Contact my lawyer. I'm going to ask them about this.
We need Ash.
Yeah. Ash is not coming on today.
She's not coming on.
I can't ask how awful this is.
We would have changed the first topic for her.
We got to send a picture of this to her and be like, Ash, you're our lawyers. We need to get out of this.
Yeah.
This was put on
top of. They
planted
the evidence.
Yeah. They put this on top of a box of essentially five Capriati's footlong subs. Like, there's quite a bit of food in that box.
It's a very big box. That is bigger than a pizza box.
It's the size of probably two Pizza Hut large pizza boxes.
Yeah, full of sandwiches.
Wagyu Day?
Apparently, it's National Wagyu Day on Friday.
Okay. So they came in early. Good for Capri.
Are there Wagyu sandwiches in there? Because I've never had that one. I want to try that one.
It does not look like it. Oh. I see turkey, and I see what looks like roast beef. Come on,
give
me the
Bobby.
Not see a Bobby.
I love the Bobby. Also, have you ever had the Bobby, Ed?
Yes.
Oh, it's great.
Yes, I've had the Bobby.
What a crazy idea. That's a delicious sandwich. Let's make
Danny's checking.
Thanksgiving
meal. What does it look like, Dan?
Oh, be careful, Danny. This is a fireable offense. He's also away from the mic, so we're asking him questions while he can't actually talk back to us.
What does it look
like,
buddy?
He ran away from the mic. So, no Wagyu, Danny?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell because it's shaved meat, right. So I can't really tell.
Have a bite of all of them and let us know.
I will.
Okay. That'll be good. Not in here.
No. I'm going to grab one, take it outside, eat it, and then come back in.
That's we have a windowsill, and that's kind of what we're supposed to do, I guess.
Yeah.
Is put stuff on
There's
the windowsill.
There's a lot of stuff on that windowsill on a day-to-day basis.
It's normally
basis.
Jared's.
Coffees. Food,
Jared just loads it up.
Right now, it's just two binders and our little basketball.
Oh, yeah, from our mini hoop to improve morale.
Yes.
We got the mini hoop up to improve morale, but now I'm getting fired if I have a sandwich in the studio and somebody brought us sandwiches.
Yes, they put the biggest temptation in front of me.
What, sandwiches?
Food, sandwiches,
Oh, just food in general?
Well, food in general, but definitely sandwiches.
I bet you can't eat five of those in an hour.
Well, since I told you I'd retire on top, I will not take that, but I could if I did not retire.
That's a lot of talk,
could
Danny.
Could you go a month and a half without a sandwich?
No.
Okay. I'm on a month and a half right now.
I barely go a week.
Yeah, I'm on a month and a half.
You count how long it's been since you ate a sandwich?
Yeah, because I gave up sandwiches.
Oh, Ed.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I gave up sandwiches.
Why?
Gave up the bread.
Oh, you just gave up bread?
Yeah, but I was like Danny. Like, I love sandwiches.
Okay.
Like, I'm like Danny.
Yeah.
I'm going to, Ed, it sounds way more normal to say I gave up bread than I gave up sandwiches.
Yeah, if
well,
you say you
saying
gave
I gave
up
sandwiches just sounds weird.
That's like you gave up tomatoes, lettuce.
But like, that's not a
but
diet.
The only time I ate bread was sandwiches.
Okay, all right. I got you. But like, yeah, I just gave up sandwiches. They were just dragging me down.
Yeah, they were dragging me down.
I could never do that. Sandwiches are amazing.
Month and a half?
Absolutely not.
How long could you go?
Like I said, I don't think I could go more than like a week.
All right.
I have sandwiches a lot.
You're giving up all bread. Like giving that pizza?
Yeah.
That counts?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
That counts.
Like today, I'm going out to lunch with my fiance. We're probably going to go get some Philly cheesesteaks.
Well, you just bring
you don't
the
need
box
to go.
Home.
You got all the sandwiches.
That,
what are you doing?
Bring that box home.
Well, I'm going to bring that home, but I also I didn't know about this, and last night I told her I would take her out to lunch today, so I don't know if she'll agree to the delicious Capriotti's, but that,
yes,
could,
she will. It's
that
free.
Could probably be
Why
for dinner.
Why wouldn't she?
Food.
I don't know. That could be our dinner for like the next 2 weeks.
It could be. Yeah. Won't be as.
Although I'll probably finish it by like the end of the weekend.
You can't do it in the next hour, Danny.
Of course I can't finish that in the next hour.
You're backing down from a challenge.
I also got to work.
You're backing down from
I
a challenge, Danny.
I can't be eating on the mic.
Yeah, you could. You don't turn it in yet. Don't turn this paper in yet, and you can eat in here. We got 11 days.
Well, I'm definitely about to go eat once we go to commercial because we got a long break coming up. I'm gonna be eating a slice.
I haven't read this whole thing, but I'm pretty sure I've written confirmation that I can eat in the studio for 11 days.
I don't think that's true.
I think so.
I don't think that's how it works.
I think I can.
I don't think that's how it
I
works.
I don't have to turn this in until June 30th. And I'm guessing they can't fire me for it until I sign it and turn it in.
It's already a rule, and this is just cementing that rule that they have physical proof.
Why do you need to cement it if it's already a rule? Because it's not cemented yet. So I'm just saying.
All right,
we need you, Jared. We need a ruling on this.
No, we don't. I just meant the ruling's on the paper.
No,
it's on the paper.
We need Ash.
We do need Ash to come in here. All right. Coming up next year on ESPN Las Vegas, we're going to get into Kim Mulkey, because there's some fun stories out there about Kim Mulkey that didn't get published during the NCAA tournament.
You're listening to The Press Box on 100.9 FM and 1100 AM.
Danny is ate an entire sandwich during the break. And
to be fair, it was only like a 3-inch sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. He came back in here, still chewing it.
Yeah.
Couldn't even answer a question.
It was delicious, though. We greatly appreciate it, Capriotti's.
Bet you could need another one before the segment's over.
I guarantee you I could.
Unless you do it, I don't believe you.
I will not do it because I know what you're doing.
Okay, I'm just saying.
It won't happen.
I'm just saying, I don't think you can.
It won't happen.
You went out on top.
I don't think you can,
Danny.
I went
out on top.
I don't think you need
another
one.
No more competitions. For now, I just eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it.
I'll give you $5 if you eat another one before this segment ends.
No, I don't need $5 that much.
Okay.
You have $5?
Well, I think so. I can Venmo it to him if I need to.
All right.
Yeah, not necessarily cash.
Yeah.
Didn't know about the cash.
We'll figure it out there. All right. We're going to go back a couple of months because if you remember, during the NCAA tournament, Kim Mulkey, the head coach of the LSU women's team, came out and ripped the Washington Post about a story that they hadn't even published yet. She called it a hit piece before it even came out. The Washington Post then did publish a story about Kim Mulkey. It was fairly tame. Most of the controversial details were stuff that was already known, right? It wasn't like there was a lot of new inflammatory stories or details about Kim Mulkey. So that's the Washington Post story. USA Today sent a public records request to LSU for emails between the Washington Post writers and LSU, which is, by the way, hilarious in its own right, to send a public request records for, hey, this other journalist, what did they tell the school? Hilarious reporting there. And through this request and through these emails, the Washington Post found some stories, some details that were not included in the article the Washington Post published. The two main ones, Angel Reese was apparently involved in a fight with teammates, and it happened in front of recruits that were visiting LSU.
Well, that's what you always want to have happen. Jenny, we want you to come to our school. Who's that in the corner punching the heck out of
that? That is
other
our
person?
Best player. Kim Mulkey, after this fight, had a team meeting and required all players to leave their phones outside of the room they were having the meeting in. And apparently during that meeting, she said the whole locker room was trash. Okay. Not the physical locker room. She was referring to the players being trash. The other story, an LSU player was disciplined as a result of screenshotting and sharing a social media message of support for Brittany Griner during Brittany Griner's detainment in Russia. Now, we don't know what the social media post said, don't know what the punishment was, but if you remember when Brittany Griner was being held in Russia, Kim Mulkey had nothing positive to say about her former player in Brittany Griner.
Yes.
And apparently punished a player at LSU for simply sharing on social media
support of Brittany Griner.
Brittany Griner. Now, here's the journalism question for you. Why did those two stories, those two details, not make it into the Washington Post's original article?
It's a good
article.
Question. Once she threatened, they rethought some of the stories that they would put in?
Did they think they didn't have enough sourcing?
I don't know what the sourcing was on it. That's a great question. That's usually what it comes down to. What's your sourcing? A story like this is read over by top editors, by lawyers, obviously.
Yeah. Especially after somebody says, I'm going to sue you when you publish this.
Yeah, we need to read this carefully. So maybe you hit it on the head. Maybe the sourcing wasn't strong enough to where they believed these two should be in there. I mean, you're going to put in about, your best player involved in a fight during a recruit visit.
Right.
You kind of want to have a good source on it.
And we don't know this as well.
And especially calling her team trash.
Right. We also don't know. These might have gotten cut even if Ken Mulkey never says anything.
Right.
They might have left this out. Because the way the USA Today, the way they found these details was the writer for the Washington Post basically emailed, hey, these are some things I'm going to put in the story. Can I get some sort of comment or whatever? Can I talk to somebody about this? He sent that to the SID at LSU, and then nothing really happened from them, so they never ended up putting anything in the story. So they might have killed those details, even if Kim Mulkey never says a thing, because they might have said we couldn't get legitimate confirmation or good enough confirmation, whatever
that we'd want to put it in there.
Whatever they determine their standard would be for the sourcing on this. So that might be why it left out. But there is a chance these got left out because Kim Mulkey threatened to sue them before the story even ever came out, which would make Kim Mulkey successful for about 3 months. Because here's the thing, it's now out there. And it might not be true, but it's now out there. And she might not, none of these things might have happened, but now it's out there.
Right.
And anybody who reads this Washington Post story.
Well, and you're basing, is this USA Today story?
So yeah, USA Today wrote a story basically saying, hey, this is what was in the emails that was left out of the Washington Post story. The USA Today very clearly in their story
said these were emails.
Said these were emails and we could not confirm that these happened.
Right.
They're just saying these were the emails between the
Washington
writer
Post
and LSU
and LSU.
And these are things that got cut from the story. So we don't know if they happened. I think I was going to say bad part, but I think she's brought it upon herself. Kim Mulkey has not given herself the benefit of the doubt for people to read these and say, well, that couldn't have happened. The way Kim Mulkey, you read these and you're like, yeah, that definitely
that
seems like something
happened.
That would have happened. Right.
Well, and we don't know. Here's the thing. We don't know if it was cut out of the story or they were never using it.
Right. It could have never been in there.
Could have never been in.
It's possible. So there's a Kim Mulkey story. Also, another WNBA story that's a little bit weird. So the WNBA has the Commissioner's Cup, and they take regular season games, and then they have the two best teams in these certain amount of games play a one-off game that doesn't matter for the regular season standings for the Commissioner's Cup. The Aces lost to Liberty in the Commissioner Cup final last year. This year, the Liberty are going to play Minnesota in the Commissioner's Cup final. New York is supposed to host this, but the Liberty are having to move this game out of their home arena, which is the Barclays Center where the Nets play, because the NBA draft is the very next day in Brooklyn. But the weird part about the story is that the Liberty apparently told the WNBA, hey, that before they even knew they were in it, hey, the date of the title game doesn't work if we're hosting it because we won't be able to host it.
Because of the draft.
And the WNBA did not care, kept the date the same. And then when it became Liberty and Minnesota, the Liberty said, all right, we host Minnesota on July 5th. Can we make that the Commissioner's Cup title game? And the WNBA went to Minnesota and said, what do you want to do? And Minnesota said, no, leave it the same day. So they're leaving it the same day, and they're moving it to a different arena in New York.
And then they're playing again on the 5th.
Yeah, and then they play their regular season game on the 5th. So
yeah.
The WNBA just was like, we don't care about your scheduling issues, even though you gave us plenty of advance notice.
I think they moved it to Long Island.
I don't remember where
it
was.
They moved it to the Islanders Arena.